Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Welcome, welcome to the Newsbusters podcast. It is Friday, June 11th. This is our fourth show, Nick. Nick Fondacaro, Night Train, is back with us. Nick, it's been quite a week.
Yes, it has been. Very busy here, especially with the Biden administration making their foreign trips all over the place and the media doing their darndest to make them look good.
Right, and we had a great interview with Stephen Gutowski of The Reload. Another plug to both listen to our interview with him on Wednesday's show as well as Nick's monologue, and also support The Reload as well. And as I said on Wednesday or Monday, not just because he's a former MRC TV employee, but because he's doing some really great sober reporting that the rest of the media aren't doing. So that's another reason you should support him, that he's doing great work here. So with that, let's get started. So Nick, I was trying to figure out how I wanted to start this monologue, but I couldn't come up with anything other than to offer a listener warning, as we're going to discuss, you've probably guessed it, Jeffrey Toobin. Yep. So Jeffrey Toobin returned to CNN yesterday after being granted leave that went on for 7 months following his Zoom masturbation incident in mid-October and then his November firing from The New Yorker. Toobin, just as a recap, unfortunately, just because I'm doing this in the interest of facts and giving you the whole picture. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, but oh well. Toobin had been doing an election simulation of sorts with his colleagues, as well as those at New York's NPR affiliate, when he engaged in said act that he thought was during a break. Just gonna let that sit. CNN's reasoning? He needs, quote, some time off while he deals with a personal issue. I wrote at the time at Newsbusters, it should be pointed out that Toobin flashing his during a Zoom call was what got him suspended, and not when he impregnated colleague Jeff Greenfield's daughter Casey in 2008, pressured her to get into abortion, and he was still not taken off the air or given leave in February 2010 when he was dragged into Manhattan family court to pay child support. After the late great Andrew Breitbart published explicit photos that Anthony Weiner had been sending to women that were not his wife, Toobin insisted Weiner's actions were no more than, quote, a mild prank and not a big deal. Toobin added that the attacks against Weiner were really excessive. Think about that, Mr. Producer. So it was only a few weeks later, on November 11th, when Toobin was fired from his left-wing magazine. The head of Condé Nast said, I'm ready to share with you that our investigation regarding Jeffrey Toobin is complete, and as a result, he is no longer affiliated with the company. Stan Duncan, the Condé Nast executive, added that, quote, we take workplace matters seriously, including, quote, an environment where everyone feels respected and upholds our standards of conduct. As we can see now, CNN and Jeffrey Toobin do not give one damn about that. In the process, CNN made clear that while Fox News is the news outlet without shame that must be shut down, they, at Warner Media, have shown the world that if you're the right person who holds left-wing political views, no sin is unforgivable for these people. And what I guess was a drawing of the straws of sorts, Nick, it was former Fox host turned Fox-hating CNN host Allison Camerota, who had to sit there while Toobin stared at her and smiled, and she was even forced to recap what happened. Let's take a listen to this initial reunion.
Let's bring in CNN chief legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin to talk about this and more. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Allison.
It's been a while.
It has been a while, indeed.
I feel like we should address what's happened in the months since we've seen you, since some of our viewers may not know what has happened. So I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Help yourself.
Okay. In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from The New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera.
My dear goodness. What made this worse was that CNN made them do an entire block on legal stories, like remaining Supreme Court cases, in addition to Tubin's nonsense. In other words, it was the warm embrace that none of us asked for, but we knew it was coming. I often have said that I think words like mansplaining and phrases such as that's offensive can be overused by both sides, but I think mansplaining was really apt here as Tubin talked about what he's been up to.
I wasn't thinking very well or very much, and it was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible, but I mean that is part of the story. And you know, I have spent the 7 subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess, trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do some public service, working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do, working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing, but I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again.
No, no! That, ladies and gentlemen, oh my goodness. So the jacking off legal analyst has become a better person by working at a food bank. All I can say before we move on is, I hope his hands were clean. One other thing of note here, did you notice how he insisted he wasn't trying to explain his behavior or defend it? But he was doing exactly that when he said, quote, I think they realized that this was not intended for them. No bleep, Sherlock. But then why do that during a work break or at all? I'm a huge proponent of mental health. People who follow me on the Twitterverse and know me personally know I care about that, and particularly the importance of therapy. So I think I have room to say that Tubin needs that and then some. Considering some of his loony takes before this, he may want to change his tune on air as well. But as we'll talk about later, he and CNN don't care that we know they've gotten away with this. Just before, in the year or so before his ouster, or not ouster, he was doing things such as when Anthony Kennedy retired from the Supreme Court, he suggested that it would be mere months before abortion was banned in much of the country. During the Amy Coney Barrett hearing, he was part of a panel that said it spelled doom for abortion and that the hearings themselves were dangerous. They also were pretty stunned at how emphatic Kamala Harris was in attacking Amy Coney Barrett. And of course, Jeffrey Tubin was part of the crowd that wondered about the 25th Amendment when President Trump was rushed to the hospital with COVID-19. And as I said to Brian Flood at FoxNews.com last night, that's a story that's now live, it only has revealed CNN to have an aversion to ethics, decency, and journalistic principles. And let's not forget, CNN has the Chris Cuomo scandal, which Nick has talked about a lot. That's really his beat. And even minor incidents that some of you may forget, such as, remember when Anderson Cooper sent out a bunch of anti-Trump tweets and he blamed it on someone getting into his gym locker or something, or the gym locker of his assistant in sending them out? Yeah. What we have here is a Jeffrey Zucker operation that will circle the wagons to protect their own at any cost. We certainly take our shots at news organizations, and we have serious concerns about the future of journalism. But the Newsbuster staff here, we want to see a fair, ethical, and rigorous press. Well, they fought themselves as supposedly being the only part of the First Amendment being all about them when it's not. They are a specific group mentioned, and we should acknowledge that. So CNN having this good old boys club definitely undermines that. So let's get back to the interview. After they went through the news of the day, the end of this interview, incredibly uncomfortable. But Camerata seemed like she was more than pleased to gush over his awesomeness.
Jeffrey, many of us have really missed having your legal analysis to guide us on our programs. So let me be the first to welcome you back.
Well, thank you, Allison. It is good to be back, and I hope to be a better person off camera as well as on camera.
Well, it sounds like you have some work to do and are doing the work, and it's been really nice to see you.
I'm trying. Thanks.
I neglected to mention this earlier, but if you haven't watched the video of this interview, specifically the beginning and the first clip we played, I suggest you stomach the ability to watch it. Only because, not to watch Jeffrey Toobin, because that's really creepy, because he was sitting there with his hands folded on the desk, very tightly gripped, and he would keep his hands above board. He would raise them to his face level so that everybody knew where his hands were. So it was like the no-touchy thing after the banana stand scene in Arrested Development here. It was very uncomfortable. Afterwards, CNN's Brian Stelter, in other words, he's a puppet of NYU's Jay Rosen and Zucker. He bragged, quote, "Some anchors and hosts at CNN also expressed a desire to have Toobin back on their shows since he has been a leading legal voice on television for decades." In his newsletter, Stelter showed, through his silence, that he seems to be okay with colleagues being able to masturbate in front of colleagues and still keep their jobs. Quote, "There are a wide range of reactions to the news on Thursday afternoon, but by nightfall, I pretty much sensed that the social media conversation had moved on to other subjects." Are you kidding me? I mean, there's no bond for this guy, Nick, and he's so shameless and poisonous and all the rest. But tell us more, Brian, about how Fox News is the enemy of the people and should be kicked off of cable packages. Because there's literally nothing that would make this guy happier than seeing every last Fox News employee sent to the unemployment rolls. Although there's one absolutely fantastical angle of this story. And that CNN has been subjected to the same kind of anonymous source-based stories that Fox News has almost been exclusively under the gun for. So the Fox-obsessed Justin Barragona and Diana Falzone at the Daily Beast took time off from assisting Stelter in trying to kill Fox News to report on CNN. They say that afterwards he was welcomed as a conquering hero, Toobin was. He was greeted warmly by those in the newsroom following his interview with Camerata. Quote, "Men and women hugged him after he left the set," the source noted. I just have to stop to go, and Nick's just staring at me with a plain face here. They seem to be happy he was back. It's invisible if people are grossed out by it, because they wouldn't be the ones to come back to him. A couple dozen in the newsroom seem happy to have him back, close quote. So the piece had a few dissenting voices, though they were mostly from Fox. They ended on a note that made clear they too saw no problem with Toobin's behavior. Why? Again, because of his political views. Quote, as one CNN staffer put it, Zucker does believe in giving a second chance to the longtime CNN pundit. Jeff thinks it's one horrible, mortifying mistake, and he shouldn't lose his career over it, the staffer said. It shouldn't be a death sentence for his career. Now, if only these people had the same standards for Fox News and really any and all pundits, not just the ones that are conservative or Trump supporters, but ones that even merely disagree with them here. Because classical liberalism is something that these people hate almost more than anything else. The free exchange of ideas and going back and forth. If it were, they wouldn't have such a problem with people like Glenn Greenwald or Tara Reid. Instead, you know, Tara Reid is on RT. And Glenn Greenwald is mostly on Fox News. And I should also throw in Zay Jelani as well, another tremendous follow who I really deeply respect. But speaking of shame, these people at CNN have absolutely none. One of the worst things, if not the worst, is they know they have gotten away with this. It's something entirely hypocritical, creepy, wrong, you name it, any explicative you want to use. To borrow a phrase I used from Monday's monologue, they do not care. They do not care. They do not care about you. Why? Because if they did, they would have acted differently. Instead, it is all about them and those that agree with them and protecting them at any and all costs. Because it's all about narratives instead of actually delivering the news. Just look no further than their ratings. It definitely bores itself out there. If you want political punditry, there's MSNBC. They're pretty open about it. I've talked about Joy Reid. But CNN, they're just so utterly shameless, full of lies, and their people are just, they're terrible. Anyway, we'll be back after this.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
And we are back. I'm only slightly calmed down at this point, but so Nick, you tried to not laugh during that monologue, and I've got to give you credit for it. So what did you think?
All I just got to say is my hands are on the desk. You can hear it right here. My hands are on the desk. You can see them. Yeah, so I had a couple things came to mind while you were talking about Tubin and his sticky situation. Yeah, that's right. I went there. So this past March, some of you might remember Comfortably Smug's Hack Madness tournament. Tubin went extra rounds, beating people's expectations.
He was a 16 seed.
Yeah, he was a 16 seed, and he went, I believe, just one extra round. I was right in calling it at least that far, because there's no way you don't travel because of your own handiwork.
Yeah, you need a boost from the people, and that's what they did. The minions were totally shocked by this. Joseph Wolfson chronicled all of it at foxnews.com, and it was a real sight to behold. We filled out our brackets, both of us, Nick and I did, mm-hmm. and I think we were surprised just as everybody else. But it happened at the right time. You know, it was not too far in the rearview mirror when this came out, and so people wonder, oh my gosh, there's Jeffrey Tubin. Oh, we got to vote for him. And so enough, here we are.
Exactly. It also brought another point to mind. The other weekend, Stelter, when he was busy licking Jen Psaki's boot in an interview on CNN, he was like opining to her, like breathlessly asking, how am I going to explain to my daughter, my preschool age daughter, how am I going to explain the lies of the Trump administration to her? You're like looking to Psaki for advice. I honestly think that the question now is to Stelter is, how are you going to explain to your daughter, or when are you going to explain to her, that CNN welcomed back a guy who exposed himself to female staff members? They welcomed him back with open arms and gave him plenty of airtime.
I should also add, Nick, if you recall, on Saturday mornings throughout the pandemic, especially in the early days when it was really scary, nobody really knew anything what we were doing. Mm-hmm. CNN, because it is a WarnerMedia property, did specials with Erica Hill and Sanjay Gupta with Sesame Street characters.
Oh boy.
Talking about COVID. So these are the same people that want to hang out with the Sesame Street people. I guess when HBO bought Sesame Street, I don't think they had these plans in mind when one of their other properties, CNN, was going to be having colleagues, staff members like this. But I guess we're in a brave new world.
The Futurama meme. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So how in the world are we going to pivot from this?
Oh, my goodness. I will try to steer us clear of the iceberg Tubin. So let's just get right to the fun and get down to business defeating the Huns. I mean, breaking down the Newsbusters website and the hot breaking news on it. So, Curtis, we witnessed something very strange happening during Kamala's visit to Mexico City this week. And I'm not speaking about her Joker-like nervous laughter whenever she gets asked like a difficult question. I'm talking about how an apparent Univision reporter was called on and jumped up and shouted out about how much she loved Kamala and how much she loved her and that she voted for her at one point in an election or in this last cycle. And our the esteemed Jorge Bonilla, who heads our MRC Latino, was all over this case. And apparently what he's found out and what has come out since is that this actually wasn't a Univision reporter. It was apparently, you could argue, a security breach, because as they were sort of ushering journalists into the room for this press conference, this woman who was there for a previous engagement got swept up into the group, and she was placed next to the Univision reporter. And when she was called on, they thought she was Univision. But afterwards, Jorge has found out that the Univision journalist and this activist, who is a Latino activist with another organization, went up to the White House spokesperson and was just like, "Oh, sorry about all this mix-up. We would like to just correct the record and let it be shown that this actually isn't a Univision reporter. She's not with us." And the White House apparently agreed and that they were going to do this, but it shows you how even the White House treats their allies poorly, because as Jorge told us personally, is like they left Univision just flapping in the wind for days as Univision's trying to like announce like this is not our reporter, and everybody's just like getting on top of them.
Right, exactly. They left them to twist in the wind, out to dry, under the bus, you name it. It's pretty embarrassing. And we have particular interest in this because the head of Simone Sanders or Kamala Harris's communications operation is Simone Sanders, former CNN political commentator. So this is just terrific. I mean, this is crazy. But in all seriousness, actually, it is a security breach that the Secret Service somehow messed this up, that this person was called on, and that she was able to tell Kamala Harris that she had just become a citizen. And then she goes on to ask a very typical Univision question about work, I mean, I believe farm workers. So she kind of said that she got swept up in the moment and just kind of went along with it. It's a really fascinating interview. Jorge Bonilla has been all over it. He's had an incredible week just destroying the competition. Knocking it out of the park. Yeah, exactly. There was just an absolutely bonkers interview on Univision's midday show yesterday. And they seated her right next to their correspondent. She disclosed that she was not part of the network and claims that she did not want to ask a question. So somehow, Simone Sanders, Maria Fernanda Reyes, Univision, and instead of correcting her, she just went with it, as I guess the spirit called her, so to speak, got swept up in the moment here. But things got even worse, of course, as we found out. You know, they left them twist in the wind. And then she did an interview with a Univision anchor, and that went nowhere. I mean, it was pathetic. She pulled out the "I'm not finished" shtick with her. It's just pathetic.
Yeah, and it just shows you how poorly even the Biden administration treats their allies in the media. And speaking of their other allies in the media, look, this week in Bias by Omission on the broadcast networks, it was absolutely out of control. The biggest story so far is on Wednesday, after the networks had gone off the air, administration released their May border apprehension numbers, and we're seeing massive increases. The crisis is just getting worse across all border sectors. It's up over 160%, and in the Del Rio sector, it's over 400%.
457%.
Exactly.
Unreal.
And meanwhile, what we have, and then, so you would think that the networks would show this on Thursday. They had all of their Monday shows and their Monday evening newscasts, or not Monday, Thursday, their Thursday morning and evening newscasts. And you had CBS and ABC just completely ignore it, both in the morning and in the evening. Like, this stuff didn't come up at all. To NBC's credit, a little bit. They did have a segment on Thursday's Today where they sort of downplayed some of the numbers, where like they pretty much picked the best looking sector, which is the Southern California sector, and they're just like, it's almost 100% increase. Meanwhile, we had, as Curtis pointed out, over 457% increase in the Del Rio sector and 160 across the board. And they're just going to cherry pick the best looking one out of all the bad stuff.
It's just pretty incredible. I mean, this is one of those newsroom conversations I wish some of you diehard readers could be a part of. When Nick turns around to tells me yesterday and on, you know, the last couple of days, this whole deal with the border, it's like, guys, you're already talking about the border. So it's only one more step. It's one more sentence. It's another second or two to include this number. But the fact that they didn't hear, it's not just a media bias problem. It's just sloppy writing. Call it intentional or not, it's just, again, poor writing. It's not answering the who, what, where, when, why, and how. This is like basic J school stuff. And these people refuse to do it. It's absolutely embarrassing.
Yeah, and you even had Tom Yannis when he was the one that made like that cherry picking. Later on, he was going on in his report and basically blaming the border wall for smugglers getting desperate and using like very extreme measures to get people across. Like, so instead of blaming the smugglers, they're just like, oh, it's the border wall, the border wall. It's like, guys, come on.
I'm shaking my head over here. It reminds me of when I was an intern with CNS News. I did a story, I forget how many millions of dollars it was, that I think it was maybe the National Science Foundation or NIH, studied why illegal immigrants or in these border towns solicit prostitutes or go to like sex clubs. And it's because they're depressed that they get deported and that they don't feel like going on the journey here. Mm-hmm. So this was back in summer of 2013 is what our government was doing instead of trying to secure the border. Yep. So I can't even imagine what they're doing now instead here. But, oh, a wall made me sad. It gave me the sads. I mean, grow up, people. I mean, this is absolutely so ridiculous. And they've covered shows. It's pretty clear. Fox has had drones showing the border here. Chris Jenkins went out in the middle of the Rio Grande and talked to a smuggler. And the smuggler had no problem talking to him without, you know, any sort of face covering. Why? Because he knows he's not going to get caught, either A, by the Biden administration and the federal agencies that have basically been told to back off, or B, you know, the news media. No one's going to hold him accountable.
Yeah, and we've seen, on NBC in particular, we even saw like the backsliding where Lester Holt that night didn't bring that stuff up, even though they had a segment on border stuff in general. And it also shows you just within the network itself. For a while, Lester Holt has been avoiding calling it a crisis, and he would just keep calling it the record surge. And when Kate Snow was filling in for him last week, they actually called it a crisis. And then once he came back this week, started walking that back. Furthermore, on the bias by omission this week, ABC and CBS have completely ignored the Ilhan Omar tweet comparing the U.S. and Israel to terrorist organizations like the Taliban and Hamas. You did have last night NBC do it, cover it, but they, of course, are going to try to trim around the edges to make it not as bad, even though they did call it a firestorm. You had them like reading from the letter from Jewish Democrats, but they didn't read the part where they accused her of trying to cover for terrorist organizations.
Right. I mean, this is so ridiculous. The news media know that this is wrong. They know it's wrong. NBC, MSNBC's Garrett Hake brought it up this morning, trying to compare it to Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments in her short career, but there's no comparison, that MTG was far worse. Just objectively, the squad has been in Congress a number of years now. They have a long record. People know exactly who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is going to happen from this. You have all these moderate Democrats or Jewish Democrats put out statements about how disappointed they are, and they're all but calling her an anti-Semite. They believe that she has a problem with Jewish people. But leadership offered a mealy-mouthed statement of sorts that they really weren't going to do anything. They just asked her to clarify what she was saying here. And the news media, of course, eat this up, and they're like, okay. Well, it's unsurprising, considering how we saw the news media covered the latest flare-up between Hamas and Israel, completely taking the side of Hamas.
Oh, yeah, that had me percolating, stewing for that entire conflict.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, you guys talk to anybody in the newsbuster's office, they'll tell you just like how on fire I was over that. So let's move on to the work that our diligent team of interns have been working on this week so far. We had Charlotte Hazard write about Stephen Colbert claiming that the GOP was the only party that went down there for photo ops. Mm. I would just like to bring up, remind everybody of the AOC crying at the fence meme. Clearly, come on, Stephen, you know better. And that's not to mention that there was also recently a bipartisan group of lawmakers who went down there to look at the border crisis.
Including Kristen Sinema.
Oh, exactly.
But according to these people, Kristen Sinema is like a Tea Party Republican at this point, so she probably doesn't count.
And when you wear thigh-high boots, hey, we'll take her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we also have intern Bridget O'Neill writing about your favorite person, Joy Reid, saying that Texas and Governor Abbott were going to literally make Texas students dumber because he opposes teaching critical race theory in schools.
It's literally, I mean, it's so ridiculous. In that segment, Joy furthered the lie from the 1619 Project, which has been thoroughly debunked by liberal academics, conservative academics, everyone in between here. The political spectrum opposition to 1619 is far and wide here. But she tried to further this notion that America was founded and that the Revolutionary War was fought so we could have slavery in America. I literally got nothing to tell you about this because this is absolutely just, as I said on Monday, bat guano nonsense here. It's just dumb. It is so dumb. And if you believe this, please seek help. Or please, like, go read a book.
Speaking of reading books, it reminds me a lot of Animal Farm, just rewriting what we already knew on the wall.
I fortunately escaped that book, but yes, I've heard.
I keep a copy of Orwell books, a couple copies of Orwell books on my desk at work here for motivation. Motivation from what we're fighting against. Okay, so further we have Kevin Tober writing on Chris Hayes comparing Mitch McConnell to segregationists.
This is really some tiresome stuff. Oh, he's from Kentucky, and I believe he was born in Alabama, so he must be a racist. I mean, how, like, lazy is that? I mean, give me a break here.
Yeah, his wife is from China, so, like, their arguments just make no sense. You just get all tongue-tied trying to think about, like, a response because it's just so harebrained.
Right. Yeah.
So we also have Abby Streetman, it's sort of a more regional story, writing about all these different outlets and stuff trying to get people to eat cicadas. And that's right, that's how it's pronounced, not cicada.
Tomato, tomato, potato, patata. She did a roundup of all the people that have talked about eating cicadas, and that included the CNN New Day segment from Memorial Day that I wrote about, which had Breonna Keeler eat a cicada, and the crunch is like, it's so painful, and it's like hands on a chalkboard terrible.
I bet they would actually argue that the cicadas would be good with tomatoes and tomatoes.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, this is what our evenings are usually like, folks.
Yep.
But it's pretty pathetic. And of course, their argument is that this is how we're going to have to eat in the future because, of course, the fact checker said, the Democrats don't want to ban meat and the Green New Deal wouldn't ban meat. But if you're talking about how we need to eat more bugs and change how we eat and what we eat, that would normally mean getting rid of meat. Okay, and the other argument is, because they're arthropods, I think, which belong to the same family as shrimp and crabs, when they die, when we eat them, they do not feel pain, so therefore it's ethical.
So with their obsession with trying to get people to eat bugs and their obsession with trains to go all over the place, it's like they really want Snowpiercer to become a thing.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Well, unfortunately, they're lucky they don't have Chris Matthews, who talked about choo-choo trains. After the Amtrak train derailed around Philadelphia a few years ago, one of my all-time favorite things I've ever heard and seen since I've worked here is his argument wondering why can't trains only go in straight lines.
Oh my God.
Why do they turn? Why can't we just have them go in straight lines so that it wasn't bending on a curve like what happened with Amtrak? Choo-choo, people!
Excuse me while I clean up the blood coming from my eyes. And finally, we have MRC TV intern Libby Krieger on the inflation rising at the fastest pace in 13 years.
Yeah, that's kind of a big story, guys. It's kind of a big deal. The news media is covering it, which that's step one. But I think the issue is they need to, more of them need to realize
that. And the reasons why it's happening.
Right, exactly. That's what we're getting to, why it's happening. This isn't just happening just because we're coming out of a recession here. There's monetary policies by people who are way smarter than me, at least, that talk about this. All right. Instead of Stephanie Ruhle complaining about restaurants not paying their workers enough, that must be the reason why they're not working, among other things. I mean, we're just talking about profits and this, that, and the other. Liberals were excusing Chipotle for raising costs 3-4% this week, just without warning.
And they would find, like, these restaurant owners, and they would just be in shock. They're like, wait, you're offering $25 an hour, and you can't find anybody to work? Like, oh.
That's well beyond the livable wage that you keep hearing about. 15, fight for 15, 15, 15, 15. So, yes, 25 is well above that. That's the limit to my math knowledge. And, yeah, so apparently that's a very livable wage, and people aren't taking it. Wonder why that is. Huh. Huh. All right, folks, so that's just a little bit of trip around the website. We'll have more throughout the day and throughout the weekend. Next week, Nick and I will still be at it again. We have three more episodes till you're subjected to Tim Graham again. The cicadas are going to allow him to come back. Right now, he is, again, continuing to enjoy a much more beautiful cicada-less part of the country that is not the swamp. So, all the best to him. If you're listening, boss, hope we're doing well. And have a good weekend, and we'll catch you on Monday. Stop by the Newsbusters or the MRC store and buy a Newsbusters t-shirt. Thanks for listening. Later.